What is up, everybody? Welcome to Living Word Church Podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we believe you'll be encouraged by today's message.
We are in the middle of the faith series. We're going to take a kind of a little break. It's actually what wasn't one of the ingredients, but we thought it made sense to take a moment. We've talked about trust and how Abraham had to trust in the Lord. And I read something this week that kind of made sense to me. It's easy to trust somebody that you love, right? That makes sense. I thought I'm a simple guy, and it kind of made sense to me. Easy to trust someone that you love. So we're going to trust the Lord. And then last week, Brother Mark brought a word about obedience and how obedience is always better than sacrifice. Amen. So this week, we're going to kind of take a break, dig in, because if we're asking you to step out in faith and walk in faith, you need to know that you can hear the voice of God. So does God still speak to us? Does the Lord still speak? Is that something for today? And how does that look, and how do we apply that to our lives? So that's kind of where we're going to go today. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 10. I'll give you a minute to turn there in case you have a hard copy Bible and not electronic. John chapter 10, just setting this up, this is Jesus teaching. It's a parable. You'll see that Jesus refers to himself as the shepherd, and we are his sheep. So anywhere in this verse where you see sheep, you can pretty much interchange who you are in that moment, in that spot. So as we go through this, chapter 10, verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Everybody say, listen. Listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know his voice. Know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Again, in this parable, Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep. Sheep are not known to be the most brilliant of all animals. I think that's kind of funny that we're considered sheep. Not you, Reagan, just me. Okay? Not known to be the sharpest animals. But they do have a unique characteristic, and this is not in the notes, but you can write it down if you're taking notes. Sheep don't get distracted by what they see. They only listen for the voice. I thought that was poignant to me. As I was kind of researching this a little further, as you might imagine, we don't deal with sheep. I don't know any sheep herders. Do we have any sheep herders in the house? I don't know of any. But back in that time, if a shepherd was leading a flock to another city, it may come time for him to have a rest and go stay at the inn, right? So what would they do? Would they keep the sheep in a corral or a sheepfold, as it's called? So all the shepherds, I guess they meet up at the hotel and they go to bed, right? Well, they keep all the sheep in a pen. They mix them all together. So they wake up the next day, and the shepherd would come out and, well, which ones are my sheep? How do I know, right? Or how do they know? So they all have a call or a sound they make. I'm not going to attempt that because I have a little too much pride. I was going to get Madden to do it, but he left. He walked out. But they all have a call. They make their sound, and the sheep come to the voice of the shepherd. They've actually tested this theory, and they've had the shepherd change clothes, not wear what he normally wears, like dress up in a totally different costume and go out and make the same call. And what do you think the sheep do? They follow, because they follow the voice, not what they see going on around them. So I thought that was awesome. The sheep don't get distracted by what they see, but they respond to the shepherd's voice. And just like that, Jesus is telling us that he does still speak today. Amen. He speaks to us in several ways. We're going to get into that. But first, we need to know why. Why would God speak to us? We're lowly creation. He's the God of the universe. Why would he speak to us? And our first point, our first item for you to write down today. Sorry, Lauren, I had to get a little water. It's friendship. Friendship. If you don't hear anything else today, and granted, most of you will forget this before we get to the car. I think I probably will too, but if you don't hear anything else, know that God wants to be your friend. Okay? He's not mad at you. He's seeking to have a relationship with you. So the friendship of God is what you will hear most likely spoken to your spirit. He wants to be your friend. In James 2:23, Scripture tells us that, and the Scripture was fulfilled, that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Again, God's not mad at you. He's not sitting waiting for you to make a mistake so that he can bludgeon you or beat on you. A lot of us have, we misunderstand who God really is because of our relationships here on earth. If you're like me, I didn't have a great relationship with my father. So in times we will portray that and project that onto our Heavenly Father. But God is not mad at you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be in relationship with you. I've heard it said before that God is sitting on the edge of his seat every morning when you wake up. And he's waiting for you to get up and acknowledge him. And you might think, well, how can he do that for everybody? Well, he's omnipotent. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. So God can be waiting just for you to wake up and acknowledge him each day. All right? And same when you go to bed at night. He's waiting until you get back up. He's so infatuated in love with you. It's a relational gospel. I love the gospel of Christ for that reason. But he is waiting to know you and to be known by you. Exodus 33:11 tells us that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Face to face. Sometimes we don't think about God that way. We think about God as he's a far piece from us, right? He's a distance from us. But he can be in your presence and he wants to speak to you face to face just like he did with Moses. That tells us that proximity to God matters. Closeness matters. It matters more than getting it right. Right? Being close to God matters more than checking the box and saying, oh, I read my word today. I prayed today. I worshiped today. Well, those things are great, but he would rather you be close to him and be honest with him. Let him know your struggles. Let him know where you failed him. And admit those things to him and draw closer to him. Amen? So it matters more than getting it right. When you're close to God, you never feel alone. Again, that proximity will give you a peace that passes all understanding, the Bible tells us. So as a kid, I remember being, or as a young man, I remember being in a room full of friends and still feeling alone. Has anybody ever had that sensation before? Room full of loved ones, people that I know and that know me, but still having that God-shaped void in our hearts and our souls. So there's a spot in you that only God can fill. And that only comes from being close to him. So the friendship of God is what we should seek. That's why he would speak to you. The next bullet is guidance. Guidance. God's going to speak to you to give you guidance in life. He wants to give you direction. He wants you to hear his voice and follow what his desires are for you each day of your life. Should I take this job? I mean, these are big things. Like these are areas that only God can speak into. It may not be as specific as getting in God's word and knowing who the character of God is, but he wants to speak and give you direction for each day of your life, every moment of your life. I like how Brother Mark says that, you know, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And Mark puts it this way, not the book of Mark, but Brother Mark. He puts it this way. He's like, it's like when you're on the phone with your girlfriend or boyfriend when you're dating and you just wouldn't hang up. You know, like I think about today, we go to the drive-thru sometimes and we got the car phones on, you know, we're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, I'm only number three with cheese or whatever. So they're still there. You never hang up, and that's the kind of relationship God wants. But he's going to give you that direction. Should I take this job? Should I date this person? Should I be in this relationship? Should I ... Whatever it is in your life, God wants to give you that direction and provide that to you. In Acts chapter 16, Paul is forbidden to go preach in Asia. I know that sounds crazy. Like Paul was a missionary. He's obviously very capable of preaching the gospel. But he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go. So that was direction for him not to go into Asia because obviously God knows what he would be facing there. Another form of guidance will be correction. This is probably all of our least favorite. Amen? We don't want to be corrected by God. But it's important for growth and maturity of the believer to be corrected. In fact, I was corrected just this week. I said something. For those who don't know me, I can say things sometimes. I kind of have a big mouth and I may offend people. And sometimes the Holy Spirit has to check me. And he does that through a lot of different ways. My wife usually is the main one. So I said something to a dear brother this week that I thought may have been offensive to him. And so we talked again later in the week. And I said, man, I got to apologize to you. I'm sorry. Of course, he was like, ah, no big deal. He forgave me. He was gracious and kind and was able to do that. And so that was a check in my spirit. But for you, maybe it may be a sin. I mean, God's not mad at you. He's not surprised when you fail. It grieves his spirit, but he's not mad at you. So your check may be, hey, remove this sin from your life. Walk closer to me. Know me, okay? I mean, you can't do that when you have sin in your life. So that may be your check, your correction today. But God will correct us. That's why he speaks to us. And finally, confirmation. He wants to guide us through life, and he will confirm that you're on the right path and doing his will. And going back to the book of Acts, chapter 16, Paul was forbidden to go to Asia. He obeyed. Two verses later, he's given a vision by the Holy Spirit, confirming that he was correct in not going to Asia, and he was sent to Macedonia. So God has a plan, right? If we're going to trust him, we're going to obey him, and we need to know he has a plan for our good. So that's why God would speak. Friendship and guidance. So now that we know that he speaks and why he may speak, how? What's that look like? Is that some kind of hocus pocus? I don't want to give any shout outs to hocus pocus, but is that some kind of hooey dooey that doesn't speak to you? So how does God speak? The first one that is evident to me is spirit to spirit. The still small voice. You know, that's what how church people, that's how we describe it. It's a still small voice deep in your spirit. I love how Romans puts it. Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our heart and tells us that we are God's children in that still small voice. But we miss it sometimes. We miss that voice, right? I've heard it said that God does not have a speaking problem. We have a hearing problem. For those of us who have hearing impairments, we can appreciate that, right? So God's always speaking, but he speaks in a still, small voice. So we miss it when we have competing voices in our head all day, every day. And we become, as a culture, masters of distraction. I know I have. If I pull up to a red light and I got 30 seconds, I'm going to get my phone out. I'm going to look at something, right? I'm going to check Facebook. I'm going to look at something. If we got a night off and we don't have anything to do with the kids, what is our first thought? Man, what can we watch? Let's watch something. Let's get tuned in, something to take my attention away from anything. So we become masters of distraction. But in doing that, we've also blocked out the voice of God in our lives, I believe. So when we have those moments, we need to lean in to hear that voice. Even if it's that 30 seconds at the red light, just to say, God, speak to me. God, show me your ways. Show me what you'd have me do today. Then you'll get a honk on the horn because you're sitting at the red light still. A reminder to get busy. I was in service once, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me to go pray for a brother, which sounds good in church, but he wasn't at church that day. Amen. So we're in worship, and I felt like the Lord's leading me. My heart's broken for him. We'd been talking earlier in the week, and he's just in a real bad spot, and hadn't been thinking about it till I got to church. We're in worship, you know, just like we were today, and the first thing that the Holy Spirit kind of tugs in my heart and says, go pray with this brother. And I was like, man, this can't be right. I'm in church. You know, God don't want me to leave church, does he? Can't be right. I'm missing it. So we keep worshiping. I ignore it. We go into the next song, and the very, very next song, same thing. Go speak to your brother. Go pray with him. And I said, no, Lord. Okay, that's not you. That's me. You know, that's not you. So keep worshiping. We go into the third song, and it's still there. So as we transition, I slipped out, and I was able to go, and he happened to be home, and I was able to pray with him and lay hands on him, and all was good in the situation. And I'm not telling you that to boost up who I am. I miss it more than I make it. But when God speaks, we need to be quick to obey, right? Don't second guess it. If he's speaking to your heart, at least take three songs to second guess it like I did, and then move in the way that he wants to move. So spirit to spirit is the first way how God speaks to us. The second will be the written word of God. It's infallible. You can never go wrong with God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. So God wrote the Bible, the whole Bible. He just used man to hold the pen, right? So you can always trust God's word. I love there's ministries that we support and we know about. I don't know all the details, but like people like the Gideons who just get the actual physical word of God into places where people have access to it and lives are changed. So I know a lot of times we think it's just a book, especially in our culture. We don't cherish the Bible like we should at times. In some places, just having possession of God's word is punishable by death. And what they'll do is they'll rip the Bible pages out of the Bible, memorize them, and pass them on to the next. So they cherish God's word. But God will speak to you. You can do the old flip method where you just open it up and say, God, speak to me today. And just pray you don't end up in Deuteronomy or something like that. But he will speak to you through his word. It's infallible, and it will not fail you. And then lastly, other people. Man, we lost power. Technical difficulty. I didn't know that. Sorry. Other people. God will speak to you through other people. In Acts chapter 19, verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. So God will use other people. It's part of the reason it's important to know the people that are around you. It's important to have a good circle of people that are hearing from God, who can speak into your life and bless your life. But in this case, these two didn't know each other. Saul had just been blinded on the road to Damascus. It had been actually 3 days since that had happened, so he's waiting for Ananias to be obedient. Ananias finally, after a little struggle, you know, he's like, God, are you sure? He's kind of like me. God, that can't be you. Saul's killing people. I don't know if you know this, God, but he's killing Christians. So you're going to send me to him to lay hands on him and pray with him. So God will obviously use others to speak into your life and to bless you. So now we know that why God speaks and how God speaks. Again, this is not an exhaustive list. God can do whatever God wants to do. He's God, right? I love how Pastor Paul said a few weeks ago, if God decides tomorrow is Christmas and when you leave here, you're going to see Christmas trees, right? Because God does God things. But now that we know why he speaks and how he speaks, as Miss Carolyn comes to play the keys for us, we're going to wrap up. How do we know if it is from God? So we get that check in our spirit. We get an unctioning. We feel the Lord tugging at our heartstrings. How do you know it's God and not just something you had last night for dinner? It's not sitting good, right? There's a few checks. There's a few like checks and balances that you can use to verify that. The first is, does it line up with God's word? The classic example of this is, you know, if a brother came to me after church today and said, man, I feel like God's calling me to leave my wife of 30 years and go be with this lady I met at the grocery store, I'm going to say, man, you missed it. It doesn't line up with God's word, right? God will never contradict his word. Full stop. You can stop at that. Another thing that we hear today in the culture is that, well, that's my truth, or that's your truth. No, there's only one truth, right? I think, and that is God's word. Or another one that we hear is, God really just wants me to be happy, right? That's not the case. God wants you to be holy, right? He wants you to be holy, not necessarily happy. If those two happen to line up, then that's fantastic. But if you look through scriptures, the apostles were not worried about their own happiness. They were worried about fulfilling their call and doing what God called them to do. Now, that's the first check. Does it line up with God's word? Second check, does it produce peace or confusion? You know, Jesus was also known as the Prince of Peace. He's not going to put something in your heart and then not give you confirmation about that thing, right? Whatever he's wanting you to do or asking you to do, he's not going to give you something that doesn't also give you peace. Now, it may stretch you. You know, he may call you to a place that's unfamiliar to you, but he's going to go with you, and you'll have peace in those moments. Amen? And then lastly, does godly counsel agree? This goes back to why it's important to have people in your life that you trust are hearing from God and have fruit in their lives, that they can speak into your life, and you know it's from God. But in this case, always take something that's important, it's a big issue to you in your life, take it to godly counsel. Ask somebody. God did not ever intend for us to be alone in this walk. He intended us to have community with one another, right? In fact, when he created Adam, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he created Eve. So God did not intend for you to walk alone in this life. So if you're struggling with a decision, or God's put something on your heart and you want to make sure that it's from God and it's not just you and your desires, does it line up with God? Does it produce peace? And does godly counsel agree?
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to get more connected, text NEXT to 62488 or go to our website, mylwc.church. We hope that you have an amazing rest of the week.